Reliable radio communications are essential for first responders at an incident. To discuss the reliability and challenges the fire service face when it comes to radio communications, I am joined by Charles Warner. Warner is a 34-year veteran of the Volunteer and Career Fire Rescue Service. He celebrated his 31st year with the Charlottesville, Virginia Fire Department and presently serves as its fire chief. He also is an International Association of Fire Chiefs Communications Committee member and a SAFECOM Executive Committee Chair. Thank you for joining us, Charles.
Thanks, Mary. Thanks, Urgent Communications, for the opportunity to share some thoughts.
Okay, let's just jump right in and first discuss the main challenges the fire service face when it comes to wireless communications.
Okay, well, there are a number of items, and the first one that comes up is radio system coverage. We in public safety have to have adequate signal strength for effective radios throughout the response area so that we can make sure that we can communicate in all the areas that we serve. The second is radio system reliability. It has to be able to withstand the worst weather and environmental conditions imaginable. The next item is radio system capacity. We have to have enough frequencies and operational channels or talk groups so that we can function in the ways that we need to with the number of agencies or services that are being provided. The next area is in-building coverage. Effective penetration of large and tall buildings in below-grade areas are critical, and we're finding that there are some really serious challenges, and then the new building materials that come into place and window treatments elevate that challenge. One of the things that came up in the last couple of years that's an issue is voice intelligibility while operating in high noise environments. What we found is that both for analog and digital, these noise environments create certain problems for public safety. The next item is radios that are able to withstand severe environments, weather and all kinds of situations. The tedious and technical nature of new systems today is another huge challenge. Developing, implementing, and maintaining that whole process is a multi-year endeavor, requires lots of agencies to be coordinated, and is many times is 5 years plus.
Now, keeping these challenges in mind, what are the crucial first steps in developing communication systems?
Well, the first thing is to define the operational requirements that are needed for the services being provided. And some of those areas will also include coverage, reliability, security, capacity, and priority access.
How well do these communication systems operate on the fire ground? I know you talked a little bit about, you know, the digital issue, but just in general, how well do they operate?
Well, you know, it's not a simple question to answer, but the overall system performance is based on the type of system, analog or digital, the system design, the coverage, including in the field and in building operations, capacity, priority access, and security. And it's important that you really understand what you're building it for and how you're going to be operating it and where.
Okay. And are there specific communication systems that are more suited to the fire service compared to other agencies?
Well, again, it's another tough question because analog and digital systems each have their own unique advantages. For example, on the digital side, it has the ability to deal with more easily with capacity issues. Analog, on the other hand, has issues that perform a little bit better when it comes to noise environments. But oftentimes, the comparisons that are out there between the various systems that we use are not apples to apples. And what I mean by that is you can compare a new system with better coverage, yet may have issues with high noise environment situations. And so you may be measuring two very different things. You have to be very careful to make sure that you are comparing apples to apples.
Now, do such systems falter in a wildland environment versus an urban environment? Does it depend on how and what kind of fire the firefighter is fighting?
Well, I don't think it's so much of the type of fires that firefighters are fighting. It's more of the systems that are placed in place and where they're actually the operation is unfolding. For example, if you're operating in an area that's well covered by towers and you have good in-building coverage, that's one thing. But oftentimes when you're in a wildfire situation, you're out in the most rural areas that don't have any infrastructure for radios. So that becomes a little more problematic, and it creates some unique challenges.
Okay, so there aren't any specific available solutions to meet those challenges, or?
Well, things are starting to emerge, and some of the things that are really showing promise are, one, multi-band radios, which means that a wildfire situation, which could be anywhere in the United States, could have a new capability using multi-band radios, being able to communicate with existing public safety radio systems where they may not have been able to before on a wider variety of frequency bands. In addition to that, you know, there's some discussion and promise in implementing some satellite technology into devices. So you might have a multi-band satellite radio, which means even in the most remote places that wildland firefighters would have capabilities to communicate via satellite.
Are there any future systems that you foresee the fire service needing to deploy?
Well, I think one is just taking off of that particular idea. I think that satellite has a lot of promise to take us beyond some of the terrestrial systems. But as we go forward, we'll have to look at making sure that we maintain our current land mobile radio system. There is nothing that's really going to substitute for that for any time in the future as far as our mission critical operations. And yet at the same time, we have to implement the national public safety broadband capabilities, which will enhance our voice capabilities. And I think what you'll see happen is you have to do those in sync. But the broadband offers some unique advantages by providing data across agencies. And where sometimes the voice culture is limited to saying we're not going to expand to other agencies, broadband is going to be able to transcend the jurisdiction boundaries that it sees in the voice side.
Now, you mentioned a little bit about the broadband network. I was just wondering, how is this rebanding effort currently spearheaded by the FCC affecting the fire service?
Well, while you'll hear many schools of thought on this, and it's hard to say not going into it knowing what it's going to be like, I think that my personal opinion is rebanding is a necessary process. Otherwise, as we continue to have new systems built on the commercial side, we would still be having some type of interference problems. When the process is complete, and I know it's been painful in many regards, because in public safety, we have so many touch points with various agencies of interoperability, that rebanding is a complicated process, especially in your more metropolitan areas. But when it's all said and done, I think that everybody's going to be in a better place.
Well, thank you so much for your time today, Charles.
Thank you very much.
That completes our podcast. This is Mary Rose Roberts. Thank you for listening.